here this morning. I'm excited.
Amen.
You all can be turning to John chapter 14. And then you can go over and put a marker in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is the Holy Spirit? Well, I can tell you the Holy Spirit isn't a what. The Holy Spirit is a who. Praise God, I'm glad you all know that. Some people don't know that. For one thing, He's the third person of the Godhead. He is a separate, distinct personality. We have the Father, who conceives all things. You might say He's the creator of the blueprints for everything that's in existence today. Then we have Jesus, who is the Son, and He's the living Word of God. And He speaks what the Father wants from His blueprints. And then we have the Holy Spirit, and He is the one, He's the power. He's the one that performs everything that the Father creates and that Jesus speaks. So He is definitely a who. He's not a dove. He's not a vapor. He's not a mist. He's not some, it was the Han, let it go, He's all over you, you know, and everybody's around you, you know, and they have hands laid on you, you know, and they're all telling you what to do. And in my mind, I'm thinking, but how do I let go? How do I let Him do this? You know, how? Because see, in my head, because of what, you know, I didn't know, because of the doctrine I had been under, in my head I was thinking He was just going to come down and speak through me. I mean, just cause my tongue to start flopping around and, you know, make all these sounds. That isn't how it is. You know, I've learned since then. But I did receive. I managed to receive through all that, you know. But it was years, I mean years, it was 1990 before I learned the truth that I could go into God on purpose and that the Holy Spirit was actually my teacher and that I could actually have a life to lead me, allowing Him to have leadership in my life. So we could continue on this journey. Now, you know, the church I was in back there, they didn't know either, you know. They were ignorant of, you know, what tongues did for you, that you could walk into God in purpose. They didn't know that by praying in tongues a lot, you could actually bring the mind of Christ down into your life. They didn't understand that at that time. But you know what? I praise God for them. Because they helped me start my path, my walk towards God. You know, if it hadn't have been for them, way back there, I wouldn't have went to Rhema. I wouldn't have been here in Oklahoma. I wouldn't have eventually found out about this message, the walk of power, the walk of the Spirit. So praise God. So I became this mighty powerhouse for God. I prayed in tongues all the time, right? No. Now, I did start out praying in tongues for an hour a day, 5 days a week. And I would get up an hour or so early before I normally got up to get ready for work. And so I did get up, and I did that for quite a while. But like a lot of us that let the cares of life come in, let other things distract us, you know, I wasn't so diligent anymore. But you know, and like most of us, I struggled with that, and we still do struggle with things, you know, because things do come into our lives and attack our lives and try to get us off course and stuff and try to get us not to pray anymore. And I struggled with learning how to locate the ear of my spirit. I know none of you have that problem. You know, you all just hear God clearly, you know, and trying to figure out what was truly His voice, what's my own thoughts, you know, what's the enemy, you know, bringing thoughts to you, you know, trying to sort all this out and distinguish these voices. And then trying to figure out His perfect will for my life. Not just the acceptable will, but, you know, His perfect will. You know, I was having a hard time, like I said, with my mind. Your mind, I don't know about you, but my mind gets in the way, you know, because I'm trying so hard. That's the thing. I get to trying so hard, you know, because I want this stuff so bad. And so it's just, then your head gets in the way. I don't know about you, but I think most of you here, you all do want to know the perfect will of God for your life. You do want to hear His voice. You do want to locate the ear of your spirit. Okay, so we're here in John 14. And Jesus is talking to His disciples here. It's the Last Supper. And He's telling them, I'm going to have to go away. But you're not going to be able to go with me. But I'm going to send you a helper. And He's going to come and be with you forever. He is the Spirit of Truth. Now, we've been taught in the past, using that scripture over in the beginning of John where Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove on Him. We've been taught that, you know, or led to believe that the Holy Spirit is real skittish, you know, He's easily spooked, you know, and that's just not the case at all. Now, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, you can grieve the Holy Spirit, especially in a service where, you know, He's moving. There's people's lives at stake, and He's trying to reach out and grab these people. Now, you can, by not being sensitive to what's happening in His presence in a service, you can grieve Him to the point of where He will stop and He will leave. You know, that does happen. But on your daily life, you and Him together, He's not that skittish. I mean, He's tough. Jesus said, I'm sending Him to stay with you forever. Does that sound like He's just going to fly off at the least little thing because, you know, you cussed or you told a lie or something like that? I don't think so. Newsflash, people. The Holy Spirit has seen you at your best, and He's seen you at your worst. He's seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. When I say that, I think of that theme song, you know, it goes through my head from that Western movie, for those of you old enough to remember that movie. Amen. You know, His love is not so fragile that He's going to abandon you. You have earthly friends that love you more than that. You know, the Holy Spirit's not going to do you that way. We have some friends that have seen us at our worst and at our best, that we have lived in close quarters with, you know, shared things with. You know what? And they're still our friends. They still love us no matter what. And I know you all have friends like that. He's not going to break off fellowship with you just because of your failings. Shocked or surprised by what you do. He's been around the human race for thousands of years. I want you to get this inside of you. He loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. He came to live with you forever. There's one scripture here in John 16, verse 27. This really hit me. I've been reading John quite a bit, but this really hit me when I came across it. And it says, "For the Father Himself loves you, because you loved me," Jesus is talking to His disciples, but this is for us too, and have believed that I came forth from God. He loves you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, He loves you because you accepted His Son, His gift to you. You accepted Him. And then Jesus in return is saying, because you've loved me and you've followed me, I'm sending my personal envoy, my personal friend back to you, and he's going to live with you forever because you love me and because I love you. Isn't that awesome? Excuse me, they're this part of the country, the feedlots. It's got to get to me sometime. Okay. You know when I would miss it? Sin. I would dump, and I mean back the dump truck up to the door and just heap condemnation upon myself. Big time. I mean, it was just like if just one little thing sometimes. If you knew you didn't do something you should have done, I mean, here it comes. And I just beat myself up royally, royally. I mean, it was awful. I mean, mentally, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. And so, you know, I would even want to try to hide from God. Like, you can really hide from God. But, you know, inside, you know, you kind of pulled back. You kind of wanted to shrink up, you know, inside. And it's like, oh, you know, like little kids do. Okay, he doesn't see me. He doesn't see me, you know. You can hide from God. And, but that doesn't happen. But you know what? You'd feel depressed. I'd feel depressed and everything else. But then, you know, I asked forgiveness for several times, you know, and you know, you'd just be in there like, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll do better next time, you know. Just give me another chance, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And finally, you know, I'd get back into the prayer closet and get back into fellowship, you know, and all that. But you know what? We got to quit. I finally, you know, you got to recognize what's happening. You got to recognize what's happening there. You got to quit doing that. Just ask for forgiveness and then move on. And quit letting it steal from you. Because it's just a ploy of the enemy to get you not to stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and continue on with your walk. So it's good to feel bad about, you know, not being obedient and to ask for forgiveness. That means just don't beat yourselves up over it anymore like I did. Maybe some of you never had that problem, you know, but anyway. But if you have, you know, don't let it do that. Okay, John 14:16 again. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. Okay, forever. Let me say it like this. He is stuck with you. The Holy Spirit is stuck with you. Do you know why He's stuck with you? Because He voluntarily accepted this assignment from the Father to come to earth to be with you forever. That's why we can say, I can say, He's stuck with you forever. Because He, on purpose, decided to do this. You know what? Jesus also voluntarily came to this earth for 33 and a half years to become a man and to walk this earth. Voluntarily, He did that. And I'm going to kick over some sacred cows, too. Blow some of the religious thinking also. Jesus did not perform one single miracle until He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He walked this earth as you and I walk this earth. When He left heaven, He laid down His deity at the door of heaven. And He became 100% man. So when He was baptized in the Holy Spirit that day that He was baptized by His cousin John in the river, and the Holy Spirit came, from that point on, when the Holy Spirit came, He was anointed with power. The power came. And so from that point on, he was showing us that he was and he is our example for today, that how he walked then with the leadership of the Holy Spirit in everything that he did, all the miracles he performed, all the teachings that he did, everything, he did it as we can do it today, showing us that it was all by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. One-on-one, intimate, personal relationship with him. And the Gospels even reveal that, because it shows how Jesus, at different times, he would pull himself off to one side, and he would go pray, and he would go fast. He'd leave the disciples somewhere else, and he'd go walk off for a while. He'd go be by himself. He'd be fellowshipping, communing with the Holy Spirit, getting the mind of the Father as to what needed to be accomplished next in this walk. Okay, now back to the Holy Spirit. Okay, he knew when he accepted this assignment, he's going to be with you forever. So he knew all the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, he'd be going through with you. So the Holy Spirit is really the complete opposite of this skittish little dove. So why do you think they portray him as a flighty, skittish dove? It's because he's so gentle. He's never pushy. He's a complete gentleman. He's so full of love towards us. It's even beyond our comprehension that, you know, the love that he has for us and how much he wants to be a part of our lives. And you know what? If we don't choose to acknowledge him or fellowship with him, he'll just stay to one side until you're ready. That's why they portray him like a dove, is because he is, you know, just a perfect gentleman. Okay, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Okay, now Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he's going to be leaving them in the natural. And he's saying, okay, you can't come with me. You know, you're just not going to be able to come with me and go do this. And even though I'm not going to be here on a daily basis, I'm going to be sending somebody with you. Now, there's not going to be any less fellowship with me. I'm just not going to be here in person. But you're not going to have any less fellowship, because I am sending the Holy Spirit, your helper, to be with you forever. He is not going to, I am not going to leave you as an orphan, wandering around, trying to figure out what you're supposed to do on a daily basis. Because they were used to that. They were used to being with him right there and getting directions and getting orders every day, being able to fellowship with him right there all the time. That'd blow your mind too if somebody came up and said, well, I'm having to go away, and you're not going to be able to come with me, and, you know, you're just going to be here. You know, I'm sending this other person. You won't be able to see him, but he's going to be here with you. And, you know, and they're like, but we're used to looking to, like, eye to eye here, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Are you sure? You know, it's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And they're breaking out there for just a little bit, you know, emotionally on the inside, because they've had Jesus for 3.5 years. They listened to all of his teachings. It's the same with us today. We can't actually walk Jesus in the flesh. And even if we could, we'd be limited geographically, because we'd have to be with him wherever he is. So that would be really difficult. So we have the same Holy Spirit that he sent to the disciples. We have him with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, day after day, month after month, year after year. He is here. The relationship is no different at all. Wherever we go, whatever we do, the Holy Spirit is there with us. He's with us at the same time that he's with Jesus and the Father in heaven. If we have any questions, all we need to do is ask the Holy Spirit. And he does provide an answer. Because it's the will of the Father that we have answers. He wants us to have answers to everything that concerns our lives. Now, really, we have a better deal because of having the Holy Spirit, because he can be with us all the time, and we're not limited geographically. You know, if Jesus were here on this earth today, and his headquarters were over in Jerusalem, we'd have to get on, we'd be on the computer every day, or we'd be on our phones, texting. Okay, what do you want me to do today? You know, where am I supposed to go? When am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to get in contact with? Or who am I supposed to do this with? Or, you know, we'd be doing all this, wanting detailed instructions. But we have the Holy Spirit who can give us detailed instructions if we get to that point in our lives. Now, put yourself in Peter's place. I think most of us can. He's been following Jesus for 3.5 years, okay? And he has personally heard every single message, every single teaching that Jesus taught during that time, okay? And at night or at lunchtime or whenever, you know, sitting around, fellowshipping, having the campfire, they'd be sitting around, they would get to talk with him, they'd get to ask him questions, and they'd say, well, what about this? You know, you told us to go do this. Why didn't that demon come out of him over here? Because, you know, when you told us we could do it. Or, you know, they would just be, you know, fellowshipping, having fun with him, you know. Jesus had fun. You know, he fellowshipped and had fun with his men. He loved them. So, you know, they were able to do this. Now, let's bring it up to the here and now. You know, suppose some of you wanted to go with Brother Charlie, like over to Peru or something. It'd be just like that, okay? You want to have fellowship with him. You want to be there in these meetings. You want to be in these massive crusades over there. You want to see what God is doing. And you want to be with him. Then we come back, and we're having lunch, or we're having supper, and we're all sitting around the table, and we're talking about, you know, everything that's happened, you know, and you get to Ashton's and all this kind of stuff. Okay, it's the same way. Peter had that same type of fellowship with Jesus. So, here's the Last Supper, and Jesus is telling them. He's telling them. Over in verse 12, let me see here. He's telling them, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Okay, the word bear in the Greek is bastazo, and it means to endure, declare, sustain, or receive. So he's telling them, I have a lot of things that I want to tell you, but you just can't receive them quite yet. You can't comprehend them yet. And Peter's probably thinking, well, what do you mean? Go ahead and tell us. We can handle it. You know, we want to know. Why can't, what else do you want to tell us, you know? But he couldn't because, see, at this point, Peter didn't understand it yet. But see, Jesus couldn't tell them because they didn't have a spirit in them that would be able to understand what he was about to tell them. They weren't born again at this time. So if he had told them this stuff, it'd be right over their heads. You know, they're just you can't. They just couldn't, because you have to have the spirit of life alive within you in order to understand the things of the Spirit, the Word. Okay, now flip over to 1 Corinthians 2 where you have your marker. And verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Talking about our inheritance here. He's talking about the things of the kingdom that the natural mind cannot understand. You have to be born again in order to understand these things because they're spiritually discerned. How many of you want the precise leadership of the Holy Spirit? I do too. I think, you know, all of us do. That means no more guessing, no more wondering, no more, you know, what should I do, you know? You get this by praying in tongues. A lot, and I mean a lot, hours and hours and hours, till it feels like your tongue is worn out, till it feels like your tongue is about to be paralyzed, you've exercised it so much you can't move anymore, you know, and learning to locate the ear of your spirit, learning to hear that voice clearly. Now, most denominations, they don't believe in speaking in other tongues or that it's not for everyone. It's in there, but it's just not for everyone. Mainly because they don't understand the diversities of tongues. So that means they don't believe in praying down the mysteries. So most people are taught in the pulpits or Bible schools that you can find out these mysteries by studying the scriptures really hard. That's why you have all these thousands and thousands of commentaries out there by these religiously minded people, okay? Because they think you can get all this by just reading the Word diligently, apart from the Holy Spirit's help. Now, you can find out certain things from the epistles because they were inspired, you know, by the Holy Spirit through Peter and James and John and these other men. Now you can do that, but to truly get the full revelation of the Word, you have to have the Holy Spirit to bring that revelation to you. Otherwise, you're not going to understand clearly and precisely what He has for you. When I'm praying in other tongues, I'm downloading the mysteries of God. You're downloading the mysteries of God into your spirit. When I'm teaching you, I'm sharing with you what I have received from the Holy Spirit. Now, that's different than you praying in the Holy Spirit because I don't know what your specific call is and I don't know what Jesus wants you to do on a daily basis. It's up to you to pray in tongues, to be able to get that direction from the Holy Spirit yourself as to what to do on a daily basis. Those are the mysteries that you're praying. The will of the Father that the Holy Spirit reveals to your life as to what you're supposed to do. Flip over to chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians there. In verse 2 it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." So this is tongues for personal edification. It's your own private prayer time where you sit yourself down, yourself, in the classroom of the Holy Spirit. You know he has a restroom? Good. Where you are sitting there and you're praying to him, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. Now, these are the things that Jesus was talking about over in John 16:12 to his men. He wanted so bad to be able to tell them more things, but they weren't going to be able to comprehend it because they didn't have the capacity. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. They didn't have the capacity to understand the things he wanted so badly to tell them. But once they were born again and they were filled with the Holy Spirit brought these things back to them, all these teachings that Jesus had been teaching for 3.5 years, all these teachings that they had heard and the stuff they had seen him do. The Holy Spirit brought all this stuff back to their remembrance and revealed to them, brought revelation to them as to what Jesus was talking about. And then they understood. Let's go back over to John 16. Hope you kept your finger there. Okay. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. These are the mysteries for you. These are the mysteries to you. If you will set yourself down in the Holy Spirit's classroom, he will teach you these things when you're praying in tongues. He will bring you the present day mind of Christ for your life. And you won't have to wander around anymore. You won't have to wonder, well, God, what is your will? I want you to realize you don't have to wander around like an orphan. You don't. You don't have to wander around hoping and guessing. You, and that includes me, we can put our hand directly into the hand of the Holy Spirit and count on him for his leadership day by day. That means minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, we can count on him being there with us forever. And it says over here, and he says, he will bring all things back to your remembrance. That means, what have you been meditating on in the Word? Have you been going through, have you planned out a daily reading plan for meditation? You know, taking it book by book. You have to give the Holy Spirit something to bring back to you. Amen. Have you been listening to teachings, you know, good teachings, you know, to encourage and exhort you? He will bring those things back to your remembrance. He will use them to give you answers in your life on a day-to-day basis. You run into a problem, he'll bring it up to you. What have you been putting into your spirit to give him something to work with? We have to give him things to work with. Now, he didn't come to be our Lord. He came just to be our friend. He's coming to bring us the mind and the will of the Father and Jesus on a daily basis. I know all of you here want that for your life. I know you really do want it for your life. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want it. But there's only one way to get it, and you're going to have to get in your prayer closet. You're going to have to go to school. You're going to have to figure out, with the Holy Spirit's help, you know, a schedule for your life that you can sit down with Him. And then that means praying in tongues for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a day. I mean, you know, whatever it takes, whatever He's telling you, and allowing Him to pray through you, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, speaking down those mysteries for your life. Allowing Him to pray out those plans that the Father has just for you. I know some of you probably causing an excitement on the inside of you. I know when I finally start grasping this, I got excited on the inside of me. That, you know, because out of sight, out of mind, you know, we don't think about Him. But He is with us continually, 24/7. He is right here. Whether you see Him or not, whether you're aware of Him or not, He is right here with you constantly. Godly hope is when we are moved to the point that we agree with God that what has been is not what shall be. But we have to make a choice. Us, as an individual, have to make a choice. Because we have a free will. And the devil is going to come, is going to try to talk you out of, very strongly, the decisions you make when it comes down to going to school with the Holy Spirit and developing a prayer life and reading and meditating the Word life. He's going to come to you. I know firsthand from experience, because He comes every single morning I go to get up out of bed.
Amen.
I'm laying there in bed and the alarm goes off and He's going, "Oh, you can just lay here for a little bit longer." I'm thinking, yeah, and I'll just fall right flat back asleep and it'll be 9 o'clock and I won't, before I know it, you know. Or, you know, "You were up really late last night watching TV with Charlie. You can take a day off." All these things roll through my mind. And then, you know what hits me and really gets me out of bed? What hits me is, okay, if you were working a job right now and you were getting paid for a job, would you just blow it off and call in sick because you didn't feel like it? It's like, okay, you'd get up for that job no matter how late you stayed up, no matter how bad you felt, you would get yourself up and get ready and go out the door and get to work. And so when that thought hits me, it's like my feet swing out of that bed and I get up and I gather my things up and I head out to the bunkhouse. Anyway, it's whatever it takes. Some of you are probably thinking, yeah, but I really want this. I really, really, really want this. Okay. Are you willing to get up 2 hours earlier in the morning before going to work? Or, maybe you're not a morning person. You know, everybody's not a morning person. There's a lot of people who are nighttime people. Are you, yeah, right back there. Or, are you willing to cut your TV time off by 2 hours and go lock yourself up somewhere? See, this stuff just doesn't happen because we want it to. We can want it to happen all the rest of our life, but unless we start doing stuff, something about it, it's not going to happen. We have to put into practice the things that we know that we are supposed to do. The Lord has many things to tell each one of us. Take that scripture personally, where He, over there, let's see, in 16, where He wants to tell you things, personally tell you things. But see, right now you can't receive it because you're not in a place. We're not in a place. You know, we're all in different, you know, spots in our life. none of us has arrived. So we're all in positions yet where we're trying to push in there yet and trying to understand and grasp what he has for us. But he wants to tell us. He wants to tell us things really, really bad because he does have things for us. He has things for us to accomplish. He has things that he wants us to do. But we, all of us here, I can say, all of us here, we are born again. So we all have that spiritual nature. We all have that capacity to understand. If we are willing to lock ourselves up with the teacher and let him teach us these things, let him reveal to us the things from the Father and the Son. But what comes down to it is the decision is ours.